The times they fail, the stronger, wiser, and more seasoned they become. This may sound totally crazy, but sometimes I ask the universe to let me fail. When things feel too easy, I invite a challenge into my life because I believe challenges are where our biggest lessons live. Failure gives me an opportunity to become more self-aware. It gives me something to teach, and many times my failures lead me to my greatest successes. If you're terrified of failure, you should know that failure is not only normal, it's also a learning experience necessary to eventual success. You'd be surprised at how intimate some of the most famous, revered women in history had to become with failure before they experienced success. Trust me, you'll want to be in their company. 4 favorite women who owned their failures. Marilyn Monroe. Although she was one of the world's most beloved, beautiful women, Marilyn Monroe experienced her fair share of failure throughout her career. Marilyn wanted nothing more than to be taken seriously as an actress, but was dropped by 20th Century Fox because they reportedly felt she lacked talent. And do you know what Ms. Monroe did? She started her very own production company, Marilyn Monroe Productions, and created the kind of roles for herself that she had once dreamed of landing through Fox. She leveraged her rejection and turned it into redirection. Sound familiar? She carved her own path, became her own advocate, worked hard, and soon enough, she proved herself. Marilyn wound up negotiating a brand new 7-year contract with Fox that gave her more money and more control, and ultimately led her to command the industry that once rejected her. Oprah Winfrey. There aren't enough words in the English language to describe my admiration for Oprah. And as adored as she is by millions of people, Oprah wasn't quite as respected early on in her career. She was demoted at one of her first jobs on television after being told she wasn't the right fit for the evening news. Devastated but still determined, Oprah took a shot at a new position with the company, co-hosting a daytime talk show called People Are Talking. Little did she know that experience would set her on a trajectory that would change not only her own life, but the world. Oprah believed in herself and kept trying new things, proving to us that sometimes unexpected failures are the very things that shape us into who we are. Madonna. It's hard to fathom that someone as insanely talented, unapologetic, and badass as Madonna would ever be touched by rejection. Yet, after researching her essays, interviews, and documentaries, I learned that she had been rattled badly, and not for the reasons you might assume. While she was used to public scrutiny surrounding her provocative career moments, she wasn't prepared for the backlash she'd receive after deciding to adopt her children from Africa. Challenged by the Supreme Court, accused of kidnapping, child trafficking, and bribery, Madonna faced a firestorm for simply trying to save her children's lives. She describes it as one of the lowest points of her life, but worth every second. A quote from the 2013 essay she wrote for Harper's Bazaar reads, "If you aren't willing to fight for what you believe in, then don't even enter the ring." Madonna could have given up her fight and moved on, but she refused to take no for an answer. Arianna Huffington. We know her as a media mogul, best-selling author, and all-around powerhouse. But while her first book was a huge success, did you know that Arianna Huffington's second book was rejected by 36 publishers? I love this story, obviously, because as an author, it reminds me that we must keep innovating, keep fighting for our work, and never get too comfortable. Arianna has said, "You can recognize very often that out of these projects that may not have succeeded themselves, that other successes are built." She's now the author of 13 books and continues to be a trusted authority on women in the workplace. Think about a time in your life when you failed. What did that failure teach you? How can you allow that failure to redirect you? Power mantra. Success does not exist outside myself. It is my natural state of being. Chapter 8. Magic, the ego, and your fantasy world. Keep some room in your heart for the unimaginable. Mary Oliver. Up to this point, we've laid down some laws of logic, transformational tools, and motivational methods for building your confidence. And while I love a good set of steps, I also love a little magic. Those soulful feelings, those unexplainable synchronicities, and those mystical moments that are hard to define are what make life exciting. I haven't met one woman who has evolved into her most beautiful and brilliant self who relied purely on rational behavior. There's a certain level of spirituality and faith, and I'm not talking about religion, that sprinkles that extra dose of inspiration into our journey. So cast aside your toolkit and grab your magical wand. We're going in, baby. Everything is energy. Have you ever gone to a concert and as soon as the lights went down and the crowd roared and your favorite artist took the stage, you felt an instant surge of happiness? Have you ever felt totally exhausted and not in the mood to exercise, but the moment you walked into your fitness class and heard the music blasting and saw everyone in their workout clothes, you felt ready? Alternatively, have you ever walked into a room and felt a bad vibe or a dark cloud as soon as you entered? Those physical and emotional shifts you feel are not coincidence. They are energy. And the kind of energy you tap into will either change your life or suck it right out of you. You might have heard the term high vibration before. Being in a high vibration typically means experiencing feelings of happiness, positivity, optimism, and love. It's the feeling you have when you're aligned with what you truly desire and when you're fully expressing yourself and genuinely feeling good. On the flip side, if you're in a low vibration, you're most likely feeling emotionally drained, physically exhausted, hopeless, stuck, frustrated, jealous, or angry. Not a good place to be, especially when you're taking control of your life and cultivating your confidence. What we focus on expands. So if we're obsessing over everything that's going wrong in our lives, we're going to keep getting more of that. I can vividly recall working in my corporate job and having to attend weekly meetings with everyone in my department. The meetings were held on Monday mornings in a large conference room, lit up by fluorescent bulbs and packed with gray folding chairs. Every Monday at 9 a.m., employees would pile into the room like sardines to be prepped for the week ahead. I remember looking around that room at everyone's faces and feeling so depressed. No one looked excited or energized. In fact, they all looked completely fucking miserable. The negative energy was palpable, so bad that after the meetings, I'd have to go outside and take a few deep breaths and shake off those bad vibes I felt penetrating my mind and body. At the time, I knew that my job and these meetings were no good for me. But now when I look back at photos of myself throughout those years, I can see the sadness in my eyes. I looked pale and unhealthy. I looked lifeless. Leaving that job and moving into a career that I'm deeply passionate about was a game changer for me. Of course, there are still struggles and I'm still faced with anxiety and challenging days, but I removed a massive energy block. The experience of working in an environment that stifled my creativity held me back from my biggest dreams and bored me to tears. Now, despite the hard times, I'm still brimming with positive energy because I'm making a confident choice every single day to live a life I'm proud of. I'm making a confident choice every day to pursue my desires, exist in a high vibration, and actively create the world I want to live in. But that took time. What if you can't just run away from that job or that relationship or that thing that's draining your energy? Lord knows it took me years to plan my escape from corporate America, and I had to figure out how to get through those days where I was hanging on by a thread and absorbing all the crap around me. I want you to understand that both energies, high vibrations and low vibrations, are within our control. People get stuck in a negative place just because they wake up in a bad mood, or they find themselves in a soul-sucking job, and they accept that energetic state. They assume that vibration has power over them, and they give up before they even start trying to shift it. There is no doubt that our circumstances and environment can and will affect our energy. But it's totally possible to make internal changes that help you feel better and ultimately change the trajectory of your life, because it all begins there. Getting into a high vibration is the fastest way to supercharge your soul and start taking massive, inspired action to create your ideal world. The bad news? Changing your situation takes time and patience. The great news? Great energy all begins with your thoughts, and you can redirect those at any time. There is no excuse to fill your mind with negativity. In this chapter, I'm going to share a few of my tried and true techniques for instantly transforming your energy into a space of possibility and positivity and experiencing the magic that makes life worth living. What does your current energetic state feel like? Can you recall a time in your life when you felt like you were in a high vibration? What steps can you take to shift into that high vibration right now? Channeling your inner muse. I restore myself when I'm alone. Marilyn Monroe. A powerful woman lives inside each one of us. She's you minus the limiting beliefs we talked about in chapter one. She's you minus the insecurity and the self-doubt. She's you minus the, oh my God, what will they say about me? She's you minus the anxiety of beginning something new. She's you minus the constant loop of negative self-talk and disempowering beliefs. She's you minus the fear of the rug getting pulled out from under you. She's you minus the bullshit, and she is the woman who will save your life. Here's what I wish I could have told myself in the years before I left MTV, when I often fell victim to these kinds of thoughts. I wish I had known that I didn't need to shrink myself just because those around me didn't understand me. I wish I had spent more time getting to know my inner muse and had the guts to let her play a little, even if only in my cubicle at first. I wish I had realized that the sooner I channeled her, the sooner I would have built up the courage to quit that job and live life on my own terms. I probably would have dyed my hair pink sooner, told more people about my creative work, and spent less time fretting about the future and more time being in the present moment. If you're finding yourself stuck in a place where you feel out of whack with who you truly are deep down and what circumstance you're in, whether that be an unfulfilling job, a crappy relationship, or an unhealthy body, try doing small things to get in touch with yourself. Maybe it's wearing an outfit you're dying to wear, and simply saying fuck it when the self-doubt creeps in. Maybe it's dyeing the ends of your hair purple. You'll have a full head in no time. Maybe it's creating a morning mantra to help guide you through your day fearlessly. All of these things will empower you with the tools to remember that you are in control of your life, and despite your situation, you're actively moving toward the place you want to be. Whenever I embark on a new project, whether it's writing a new book, evolving my personal style, or taking on a new hobby, I'm always seeking inspiration. I used to make the mistake of thinking that inspiration was only going to be found outside me. Of course, many of us, myself included, are inspired by art, music, travel, or other people who are doing amazing things. But I eventually realized that the deepest and truest inspiration happens inside. Even the word inspiration has the word in at the beginning of it. Use that as a reminder that you have everything you need. And everything you need can be accessed through your inner muse. The concept of the muse dates back to ancient times. Both Greek and Roman poets believed that all creative work was inspired by a muse, a goddess-like being who is the daughter of Zeus and Mnemosyne, the goddess of memory. According to this myth, the muse would descend upon the poet as a sort of creative companion, downloading ideas and words, and ultimately the art that the poet would create in the form of writing, or musings. The poet felt that he was simply a conduit for the muse's message, and he was not responsible for what came from this divine inspiration. He was, however, incredibly grateful, because a muse could strike without warning, and there was no promise of her return. When you're feeling uncertain, drained, or insecure, Just remember that you are your own damn muse. Since the Greeks and Romans developed the concept of the muse, we've learned so much more about the psychology of the mind and how our brains function. We now know that we all exist on two planes of consciousness, the ego and the id. The ego is our rational mind. It makes plans, sets goals, and acts in a rather logical manner. The id is our subconscious mind, filled with feelings, memories, and more primal or instinctual thought processes. We can now connect the id with our inner muse and realize that often that creative spark or aha moment is unearthed through our subconscious mind, the place where our inner muse lives. Unlike the ancient poets, we now understand that we can channel our inner muse willingly. When you're in a high vibration, feeling all sorts of positive vibes flowing through you, it's easier to connect with your inner muse. It's almost as if she's bubbled up to the surface, constantly feeding you ideas and inspiration. She's so close you can almost feel her presence as she floats around your mental atmosphere, jolting you with epiphanies and light bulb moments. She is confident, creative, and free of the rational chains that often shackle us. Whether she's helping you become more self-aware and see things in a new light, giving you new business ideas, or providing the inspiration to write your new book, or the courage to dye your hair pink, there's no doubt that your inner muse is a direct reflection of your energetic state. She is your deepest, truest, best self coming forward. But don't be freaked out if you have a hard time finding her. The best parts of ourselves often take time to access, for many different reasons. Remember those limiting beliefs that we talked about in the first chapter? They can do a number on you, making it more challenging to invite your inner muse to the table. If you find yourself in a regular state of high anxiety, it can also be hard to find her because you're clouded with nervous thoughts and negative chatter in your mind. My muse was lost for a good 7 years during one of my long-term relationships. Because of how toxic things were, I buried her without even realizing I had dug her grave. I was so focused on making my then boyfriend happy and changing myself in the hope that he would accept me that the best part of me seemed gone forever. The best part about that breakup? Getting to know her again. And man, was she happy to be back. And please remember this. Channeling your inner muse is meant to be fun. She is all about unapologetic confidence and living beyond fear. Commit to her way of thinking and set yourself free. You can reconnect with your inner muse or meet her for the first time ever by using these strategies. Meditate. Find a quiet space where you can dedicate at least 15 minutes to sit in meditation. Set a clear intention to connect with your muse. As you breathe in, welcome her. As you exhale, release the ego-driven thoughts of control or self-criticism. Remember, your muse is playful, free-spirited, and filled with creativity. She needs room to defy logic and express herself without bounds. Make a playlist. Music is a powerful escape and a chance to set the tone, pun totally intended, to connect with your muse. Choose songs that put you in the zone, make you feel empowered, and help bring your muse to the surface. If your muse is sassy and bold, perhaps listening to a Madonna album will evoke her. If your muse is sensitive and artful, perhaps a jazz playlist is what you need. Dress the part. One of my favorite things about our inner muse is her sense of boldness. No matter what your personal style, you must know that your muse breaks all the rules in life and in fashion. My muse loves the color pink, isn't afraid to rock a faux fur jacket, and thrives on individuality. Let's put it this way. Your muse probably isn't wearing beige slacks. Have fun experimenting with your wardrobe when channeling inspiration. And if you feel silly, blame it on her. Ask yourself, what would my muse do? Once you get to know this fierce, fiery woman inside you, start leaning on her for advice. Nervous to ask for a raise at work? Scared to wear that new bold lip color? Afraid to tell your lover you aren't satisfied in the bedroom? Ask yourself, what would my inner muse do? And act accordingly. When I wrote my book of poetry called Stripped in 2016, I relied heavily on my inner muse to guide me throughout the process. I am not a poet, I did not study poetry, and I had no idea if the book was going to work. I did, however, feel completely compelled to write it. And during the writing process, the words flowed from me like a rushing waterfall. I was completely plugged into my muse, embodying her in every way. Channeling her helped me defy the imposter syndrome that could have easily crept in. I stayed focused on the inspiration flowing from me. I was so connected that much of that time felt like a blur, something almost beyond my control. I surrendered to her and let my creativity take the wheel. And the result was a beautiful book that was received by my readers more positively than I could have ever imagined. When you live and work from that inner space, you commit to your authenticity. Your muse isn't faking it. She's as real as they come, and people can sense it. Have you ever admired a woman who effortlessly and unapologetically does her own thing? She's not worried about what everyone else is doing. She is connected to her muse, and that's all the inspiration she needs. Trust your gut. That bitch knows what's up. We can't talk about your inner muse without talking about intuition. Do you know how to instantly become consumed with self-doubt? By asking everyone around you for permission. Have you ever asked someone for their opinion, only to still feel unsure, and then ask another person and another? Soon enough, you've polled basically everyone you know, and although you have more answers than ever, you're more confused and unsure of yourself than when you began. Empowered women don't poll. Empowered women may request feedback from a small circle of trusted confidants, or they may not request feedback at all. But one thing is certain, they rely heavily on their intuition. Over the years, I have become intimate with my own intuition. I instinctively know when a business opportunity is not right for me or when I don't trust someone. I have a sharp sense of when I should move forward with an idea or when I should back away from it. This has taken years of practice, paying attention to that voice in the back of my head, paying attention to my patterns and what works for me, paying attention to how I feel in a certain situation. Sometimes only I can see a vision for myself, and my gut tells me I need to pursue it. If I waited for everyone around me to get on board, there's a strong chance I could be waiting forever. In order to get comfortable trusting the superpower we all have access to, start practicing the gut check. Ask yourself, what is my intuition telling me about this situation? First, observe your feelings without judgment. Then, try acting on that intuitive sense. If you're nervous about doing this with major decisions, start small and build up over time as you learn to trust yourself. The power of intuition has been linked to success and supported by entrepreneurs like Steve Jobs, who said, "Intuition is a very powerful thing, more powerful than intellect, in my opinion. That's had a big impact on my work." Oprah also swears by listening to her gut. Learning to trust your instincts, using your intuitive sense of what's best for you, is paramount for any lasting success. I've trusted the still, small voice of intuition my entire life. And the only time I've made mistakes is when I didn't listen, she wrote in an article on her website. When you don't know what to do, do nothing, she continued. Get quiet so you can hear the still, small voice. Your inner GPS guiding you to true north. Why you should live in a fantasy world. When I was 17, I started a music magazine out of my bedroom with my good friend Jen. My dream was to be a music journalist, and I couldn't wait until after college to get a job in the industry, so I created one. Patience was never my thing, and I knew the power of choosing yourself early on. Jen and I carefully planned each issue, listing out all the albums we wanted to review and the bands we wanted to feature. We even included poetry and quotes we collected from our friends and favorite artists. We knew we had to be taken seriously to gain press passes to concerts and music festivals, so we gave ourselves titles and made our own letterhead on our clunky desktop computers. I collected the names and addresses of record labels from the backs of my CDs and called them to arrange our interviews. "Hello, this is Kara Allwell, editor-in-chief of Honey Spider Magazine," I'd proudly tell the receptionist, praying she'd patch me through to the public relations department so I could make my pitch. When I couldn't get through on the phone, I'd mail a letter in the hopes that someone, anyone, would get back to me and help me turn my dream into a reality. And guess what? Most of them did. Before graduating high school, I had already interviewed bands like Blink-182 and Metallica. I was busy scoring VIP passes to the Warped Tour while my classmates were busy scoring pot. I was as serious as ever about becoming a music journalist, and nothing was going to get in my way. While my friends were cutting class to smoke up behind school, I was cutting class and getting on the subway to go intern at TVT Records for no money and no school credit. All I wanted was to be around the music industry and the people who worked in it. I didn't care about getting paid. Every afternoon, I'd walk up to that big, brick-orange building on East 4th Street and find my way to the main conference room, where my boss would let me preview new albums while assembling press kits. I was in heaven. Those days of being a girl boss before the term girl boss actually existed shaped me in a big way. I learned early on that I was the master of my destiny, and I had the ability to create the kind of world I wanted to live in. I made no money doing my zine or being an intern, but I didn't care. One day, while I was visiting my mom at work, her boss asked me how much the record label was paying me. "I'm not in it for the money," was my reply. And my mom and her boss laughed and laughed. They couldn't grasp how I could be so passionate about a job that didn't pay me. Sure, it would have been nice to get a paycheck each week, but that wasn't happening, and I wasn't letting that stand in the way of my ultimate goal. While most people were telling me to be more realistic about my dreams, I was busy figuring out who I could connect with to help me make them happen. I didn't take no for an answer, and I built my own doors when the ones I tried to open were slammed in my face. I've carried that entrepreneurial spirit with me throughout the years, and it's now my mission to help every woman realize that she is the boss of her own life, even if she doesn't own her own business. Every woman has the ability to step into her power and recreate her reality, no matter how out of reach it may feel. And the first step is developing a healthy relationship with fantasizing. Have you ever caught yourself staring off into space, dreaming up a scenario that you know would make you happy? Or falling asleep at night imagining something playing out in your mind in the most favorable way possible? Those brief moments where we catch ourselves in a daydream are the seeds of true change. Those are the moments we must seize, nurture, and expand upon. As Gloria Steinem says, dreaming, after all, is a form of planning. Everyone's reality is completely different. What's true for me may not be true for you. It's important to identify the fantasy that feels good to you. This is the time to use your imagination and to visualize without limits. This is the time to cast aside the fear, the doubt, and the worry about what's right or wrong. This is the time to let magic show up and take the wheel. So, how does one bring those fantasies to fruition? Because, after all, we want to bridge the gap between fantasy and reality and live out those dreams in real life, right? I've developed a few core strategies that I turn to when I want to begin birthing a big dream. Fight for your right. If you haven't already purchased a dedicated journal to have with you as you go through this book, the time is now. Writing down what you want is your biggest ally in attaining happiness, confidence, and success. I'm talking about writing, not typing. We spend our lives on our phones and our computers, so the art of writing your dreams by hand automatically becomes a special experience. And there's science to back this claim up. In 2014, the Association of Psychological Science reported that students who physically took notes received a memory boost, particularly when compared to those who took notes via laptop. Use a pretty journal and place it somewhere safe in your home or your office. Every time you write, make it a ritual. Light candles, pour a glass of wine or a cup of tea, and commit to the experience. Establish a dream team. Whether it's your spouse, your closest friends, or like-minded women you meet in a Facebook group, assemble a dream team of people you can share your fantasy with. When you're going big, there's a chance you'll be faced with those who tell you it can't be done simply because they don't have the capacity to think the way you do. By reserving your fantasies for the ones who get it, you'll be sure to receive the support you need in cooking up those big ideas. Rewrite your beliefs about yourself. Rewrite your current belief set in the form of affirmations. For example, if your fantasy involves bringing more wealth and abundance into your life, and you're used to being afraid of money and feeling like there's never enough, you'll need to change your beliefs about wealth. Your new affirmation could read something like this: I am no longer available for feelings of lack. I know my worth, and I am ready for abundance in all areas of my life. Create a game plan. Once you're clear on what your dreams are, it's time to start taking inspired action. One of my biggest fantasies is to one day own the 80s dance club I go to every weekend. In order to take this from a fantasy to a reality, I need to start making moves to see it come to fruition. I am a big believer in creating small, actionable steps as you build up to your big, huge dream. So, one of my goals may be learning more about the business and talking to the manager to understand how the club works. I may want to meet the patrons and find out what their needs are. Later on down the line, my goal may be setting up a meeting with the current owners to see if they're interested in ever selling the place. When you break things down into bite-sized chunks, your big picture fantasy suddenly starts to seem attainable. And that's where the momentum begins. And momentum builds confidence. And confidence fuels you to ultimately change your life. What does your fantasy world look like? Do you believe this fantasy can come true? If not, how can you start to believe it? What steps can you take right now to make your fantasy world possible? Power mantra. My natural energetic state is one of love, joy, and possibility. I attract everything I desire effortlessly and without struggle. In conclusion, I hope if you take one thing away from this book, it's that confidence is accessible to you at any time you wish to find it. Confidence is a gift you can give yourself in every moment. It is your ally, your truest, most natural state. Building your confidence is less about learning and more about unlearning all the things we thought we knew about ourselves. You have everything you need within you to thrive. You are not broken. You are actually so whole that it terrifies the world that tries to keep you small. I hope you know that your past does not define you. It never did, and it never will. Your story can be rewritten at any time, and self-reinvention is one of the most exhilarating experiences ever, if you let it be. I hope this book has helped you realize that you do own the place. You always have. And I hope you realize that the place is actually yourself. You may find yourself lost and unlost inside your own bones from time to time, but you can always come home. She'll be waiting for you. Always. With love, Kara. This is Kara Allwill Leyba. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Like She Owns the Place. Give yourself the gift of confidence and ignite your inner magic. This program was directed by Mae Wuthrich. Executive producer, Diane McKiernan. Text copyright 2018, by Kara Allwell-Leba. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.